Welcome to Vespers, everyone. My name is Scott Kirshner. I'm the village pastor here at Holden. And we're going to be using both the red hymnals and a brown, I guess it's a one-third sheet, printed on cardstock. And we're going to be reusing these, so if you would kindly return them to the table after the service, that would be great. Our homilist tonight is Alan Story. And throughout the summer, Monday nights are what we're calling theme vespers, focusing in some way on our summer theme, where the river flows, life abounds. And so you hear that as a theme throughout our service tonight. Our opening hymn is number 423.
Please be seated. Please pray with me. Spirit of the living God, come now and grow our faith, deepen our hope, strengthen our love, and come and water within each of us here the desire to be your faithful friends forever. Amen. Well, Holden theme for 2012 comes from Ezekiel 47, verse 9, where the river flows, life abounds. where the river flows, life abounds. And this single verse of Scripture leaves no residue of doubt. There's no room for a question. Where the river flows, life abounds. It's a statement of fact. A statement stating the obvious, the expected, the logical, the ought to be, the way things God originally designed to be. And yet we can no longer utter these words with such certainty. Not when ever-increasing waterways lie clogged and contaminated. Too often today, where rivers flow, disease abounds and death follows downstream. And so in a tiny, tiny fragment of cosmic time, we have reversed the obvious and confounded the logic of centuries, destroying God's original plan. As a result, in the coming years, from many different nations and different peoples, we will hear a desperate plea of a long ago woman saying, "Please, sir, give me living water. Please, I want living water. Water that will no longer make my children sick." And as water is privatized, we will hear over and over again the crucified cry of millions, "I thirst." I want to invite Holden Village to receive their toxic river as a privilege. A painful privilege, but a privilege nevertheless. Because of the toxicity of this river, it will keep this community in touch with an ever-increasing toxic world. And you now know the cost of repentance. And so in years to come from this community, you will have a gift to the world to teach us how to repent. And maybe even that gift will be felt in the River Jordan, that river where Jesus first heard God call and name him beloved, where if you were to be baptized in the River Jordan today, well, we say that you die in baptism, but it may end up being literal. Such is the contamination of that stream. And so, where the river flows, life abounds, is no longer a statement of fact, it is a prayer of hope. Now, when there is death in the lake, any wise person will wander upstream searching for the cause, sometimes all the way back to the source. And if we wander upstream through the book of Ezekiel, it will take us 7 chapters to reach the source. Ezekiel chapter 40, where we read that the river's source is within the Holy of Holies in the temple. Such was the prophet Ezekiel's excited and expectant faith in this new temple. And yet, by Jesus' day, Ezekiel's life-giving river was no longer a statement of fact either. Not because the water was literally toxic, but because figuratively it had been contaminated by a toxic religiosity where people began to worship the way they worship rather than God. Where people spent all their time in synods debating who was welcome and who was not, who could love each other and who could not, restricting access to a chosen few, excluding and exploiting the majority, employing a strict hierarchy, living by the primary question, how can we grow our membership, instead of how can we do justice, love, mercy, and walk humbly with our God. And so the temple began to exist for itself. And just as when a person lives to exist for themselves, an institution who exists for themselves becomes toxic. And it made Jesus mad. It's the only recorded place that we have Jesus losing his temper in the temple, in the church. And so he marches to the source, into the temple, and he set about the hard and harsh work of temple remediation. Now please note, there is no record of Jesus ever hearing God's voice in the temple. In the Gospels. The only place Jesus ever hears God's voice is in a river and on top of a mountain. Maybe we should stop spending all our money on building buildings and refurbishing them, temples, churches, and put all our money into preserving the rivers and the mountains, and then maybe we too will hear the word of God address us and name us beloved. John in the book of Revelation picks up Ezekiel's vision, but with one major difference. He speaks of this river of life, but he makes sure he is explicit in stating that there is no temple. I don't know how you read that. Could it be that the temple is irredeemable? Such is the toxicity. Dare we face that truth about the church? It should trouble us in the very least. And so I end with a parable. Once upon a time, the water of life, seeking to make itself known upon the face of the earth, bubbled up in an artesian well and began to flow freely and strongly. The thirsty thronged to the well and drank gratefully its life-giving water. However, it was not long before decisions were made to fence the well, charge entrance fees, and make elaborate laws as to who could come to the well. Soon the well was the protected property of the elite and the powerful. Angry and offended by these decisions, the water stopped flowing and began to bubble up elsewhere. Those who owned the first well were so consumed by the bureaucracy and legislative paperwork, they did not notice that the water had gone elsewhere. They continued selling non-existent water, and few people noticed that its life-giving power was gone. Sadly, the same fate overtook the new artesian well, Again, the water of life sought another place, and this process has been repeatedly going on throughout recorded history. When our churches are empty, when we ask where are the young people, maybe they know something about the water we serve that we don't.
Let us pray for the waters of mercy and justice to flood the land. We pray. For courage to live the faith we proclaim. We pray. For the flourishing of all creation. We pray. For an end to the injustices and the inequalities that divide the human family. We pray. This and whatever else for which we stand in need, we ask in the name of Christ Jesus, the living one. In God's name we pray. Amen. Please stand and join us for the last song, hymn number 455.